And I was thinking when you were singing that when the devil hooks his little hooks in your flesh and drags you around this world like a rag doll, that there's a real fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins.
Amen.
And sinners can plunge beneath that blood and be made free.
Amen.
Man. I'm glad there's a real God, a real Jesus, not just a church Jesus, man.
Right.
Not just a religious Jesus. I mean, he's Jesus all the time. He's real, buddy. He's a friend that sticks you closer than a brother. He'll be there with you on the top, and he'll be there with you on the bottom, and he'll see you through the whole mess. Amen.
Right.
He's a real Jesus. He's got real answers, and he's got real help, and there's real hope. Amen.
Yeah.
There's real hope in the real Jesus. You can go to your average church, and you can't find the real Jesus with any kind of real hope. They can give you some Band-Aids or maybe some medicine, but there's a Jesus in that Bible that's got real answers.
Right.
Amen. And I thank God for the testimonies that I've heard of the people in my life and what God can do. And then Brother Zach's talking about those witnesses and those records. And I'm glad that I've been given a witness. If you have your Bible, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. I got a simple thought on my mind, and we'll give you this. And Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I just want to say thank God this morning for forgiveness. I want to personally and publicly thank God for forgiveness. Amen. I'm glad there's forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that he's able to forgive. And I'm glad when he's able to forgive, he's able to put that junk behind him. Amen. Never to be remembered again. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That little word confess in that verse is not flippant. It's not lighthearted. It's not easy. That's we flip that verse out there as if it's something easy to do, but I'll be honest with you. Confessing your sins is not easy to do. That's the stipulation. Because that word is a lot deeper than just an admittance of sin or an agreement of sin. It's more than an acknowledgement of sin, but it's actually seeing it as God does. And it's rare that we can see it as God does. Hey, man, if you don't... I don't know what happened, but it wasn't good. David ain't happy about it, I can promise you that. Yeah, see there? He just wanted out of church, little hypocrite. Yeah, boy, your mama fooled you. That confession of sin simply means to see your sin as God sees your sin. To see it as God sees it.
Right.
Not just agree with God that you sin, not just to acknowledge that you sin, but to see the exceeding sinfulness of that sin, to see the evilness of it, to see the wickedness of it, to see the crime of it, to see the cost of it, to see it as God sees it. The Bible is very clear about sin. And if you can see how God allowed His only begotten Son to be made sin for us and to suffer like He suffered, then you understand it's not lighthearted or flippant. It's not just something that we can say, Lord, I confess and I go on. No. It's much deeper than that. Look with me, if you will, in Psalms 103. The Bible says in Psalms 103, 10 through 12, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, is not a temporary fix.
Right.
I like what the psalmist said. David said, my heart is fixed. I like that. That's a permanent. That's a permanent thing for Him.
Right.
Amen. And you know what I found out? Only Jesus can give those permanent fixes.
That's right.
Amen. This flesh can't fix it. The world can't fix it. The devil can't fix it. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will only make it crave more and more. But I tell you, the psalmist said, "My heart is fixed on Thee, O God." Yeah. Isn't it something? Ain't it a blessed day when your heart gets settled with Jesus?
Yeah.
Isn't it something when Jesus gets settled in your heart and your heart is fixed? And dear God, you can say as the psalmist, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. What are you desiring today? There's nothing wrong with having desires. There's nothing wrong with having dreams. There's nothing wrong with having that stuff. But I tell you what, ought to sit on the throne of our desires or to be the Lord Jesus. Amen. I speak to myself. Forgiveness is not a temporary fix, ladies and gentlemen. It's an eternal solution. Forgiveness doesn't bring up your past.
Right.
Forgiveness won't bring up your past. That ain't forgiveness. That's a farce. That's not forgiveness. That's putting a Band-Aid on the situations. That's not forgiveness. True forgiveness won't bring up your past.
Right.
True forgiveness won't throw your past in your face. Amen. It won't bring it back up. Listen, when you go from the east to the west, there's no end to that. You just keep going. You just keep going. You never reach it. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Hey, listen, true forgiveness, it's over, friend. You'll never have to deal with that again. That's what true forgiveness, it's over with. You'll never be able to reach out and find it again. That's over. That's gone. And if you chased it down, the things that God forgave you for, you'll never find them. They're over. And, you know, we could go through the scripture and look at what God's done with it. But when God said you're forgiven, thank God, that will not catch up with you tomorrow. When you're forgiven of God, it won't come back and haunt you. It won't slap you in the face tomorrow. That junk's over.
Right.
How many times have you dealt with human beings and they claim to have forgiven you, but the first time you rubbed them wrong, you found out you really wasn't forgiven of that situation. They brought it right back up. That's not true forgiveness. But there is true forgiveness in God. Look with me. And that's what I want to look at today. And I want to look at it quite different. And without entertainment and all that, let's just look at the scriptures. Genesis chapter 50. I want to talk about forgiveness. Genesis chapter 50. And while you're going there, let me just say this. When the Lord found every one of you in this building that's ever been found, he didn't find nothing good.
That's right.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I mean, son, when he found me, he was scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
And you think about all the guilt and all the shame and all the stuff in your life, and Jesus is able to forgive you for everything that you've ever done, for everything you've ever thought, for everything in your God's able to forgive you.
Right.
That's a wonderful thing to have your guilt washed away, isn't it?
That's right.
I've done some pretty rotten things in my life, things that I'd be ashamed to let my closest friends know about. There's things in my past that I've never uttered in a public setting. There's things in my past that I've never told any other person. There's things that's just only there that only me and God, as far as I know, are aware of. But you know what I found out, Brother Zach? God's forgiven me. Amen. Amen. There's some scars in my life. There's some bad memories in my life. But I tell you what, God's forgiven me. And everybody that's sitting here today that's been saved by the grace of God, you could stand up and testify. Amen. We could pass the mic around this morning, and people could shock you with the stories of things that God has forgiven them for. Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 says this: "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, 'Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him.' And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father.' And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good.'" We ought to say amen right there. I mean, we ought to just stop and reflect for a second. Everything that the flesh and the world and the devil's done evil in our life, God's working something good out of it.
That's right.
That's still true, ladies and gentlemen. It might seem to be evil, but I'll tell you one thing. Romans 8:28 is still in that King James Bible. "For we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord." Amen. Right. If you love God, I promise you all things will work together for good. The devil might mean it for evil. The world might mean it for evil. But I'll tell you one thing. God knows how to turn it around for you. It'll be something good. He said, "Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know, this is the first place in your Bible that the word forgive is used. I like to go back sometimes in my studies to the first rule of mention. Simply stating that I like to go back to the first time the subject or the word is dealt with in the Word of God. If we want to take a look at the home today, what do we like to do? We like to go back to the Garden of Eden and look at the home, the pattern that God set for the home in the Garden of Eden. That's a good place to start if you want to look at the home. And so forgiveness, I want to go back to the first place that it's mentioned. And isn't it strange that it's mentioned between human beings? It's not about God and man, but it's about man and man. It's about some brothers that were jealous, that hatred had got up in their heart, and jealousy had settled in their bones, and they hated their own brother, and they sold him into slavery, and went back and lied to their daddy about it. They said, "We want to get rid of this sucker. We're tired of the favoritism. We're tired of the partiality, and we're going to get him out of the way, and we're going to get some love and affection from our daddy like we feel like we so rightly deserve." And they sold this boy off and went back with that coat of many colors and dipped it in blood, the blood of an animal, and lied to their daddy and said, "Joseph has been killed. Some animal has jumped out and slaughtered him." And the boy went as a slave down into Egypt. And he goes down to Egypt, and everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. there he was as a young man trying to live for God. Wasn't trying to do anything wrong. And Potiphar's wife approached him and wanted him to have relations with him. And he took off running, and she grabbed his clothes and it pulled his top off. And she went and lied and said, he tried to rape me. And he got up and run out. And look, he left his jacket in my room. Lied on him in there. There they stuck him back into prison. Now the process of time has taken place, and the famine has come, and there's no corn growing down in Israel. And God has done blessed Joseph and given him those visions that there's going to be a famine to rise. What I need you to do now is I need you to take and pile up all these corn as these farmers are growing it. I want you to stockpile it for all the people of Egypt. And I'm going to bless when the famine comes, y'all going to have food to eat. And so he talks to the king, and the king lets him do his thing, and he stockpiles food from the farmers. And that famine hit the land of Israel, and there's his brothers and his daddy sitting down there without anything to eat. And so they had to pack up and head to Egypt to get something. Guess who they had to talk to? They had to come and deal with Joseph. Man, they was afraid when they realized that their brother that they had sold and lied about and done so evil against him. They was afraid that he would have them put to death. And it's a strange thing that the forgiveness in your King James Bible is between people. They're asking, will you forgive us for what we've done to you? You know what Joseph wasn't doing? He wasn't sitting down there in Egypt with bitterness in his heart. He wasn't sitting down there just thinking, boy, I wish the day would come when I could get even with my brothers. You know what he was doing? He was doing the will of God. He was just busy. He didn't sit and dwell on how he got treated and who done him wrong. But he had went down there and he got busy living for God. Amen. In a strange land. I mean, friend, in a land that was about godless, this old boy went down there and served God. In a prison cell, Miss Stephanie, he got falsely accused and he went down there and stayed with God. And he come out and he stayed with God. And then one day that opportunity, I tell you, I don't know too many humans that wouldn't have took the opportunity to get even.
Right.
I don't know too many human beings that wouldn't have said, wouldn't have been licking their lips and going, yeah, boy, here they come. I got them now. I mean, just that vindictive attitude of most human beings. That, right. I'm going to get even with them. Mm-hmm. Boy, now I can get them back. I can do with them what I want to. I got them at my... But you know what's amazing? They said to him, we want you to forgive us. Well, you know what, Brother Zach? He never harbored any unforgiveness.
Right.
They were forgiven before... They were forgiven before they even got there. Amen. But you know what they had to do? They had to ask.
That's right.
They had to ask. They had to go and ask for it. It was already granted. But they had to ask for it.
That's right.
He wasn't sitting in there harboring unforgiveness. Man, he was busy living for God. Oh, boy. I think that Joseph was such a servant of the Lord, he wasn't caught up in what was done to him. I don't think he was caught up in how he was done wrong. There's not a person inside this building that ain't been done wrong. Somehow, some way, everybody in this building has been done wrong. And I guarantee that to you, we could pass the microphone around. And they, just in this small little church house, there's stories inside this church that would shock your socks off of you. Ways that people's been done wrong. Man, it never ceases to amaze me today, the stories that I hear and the testimonies and things that people say, and you just go, man, where does that stuff come from? I mean, where is all this coming from? Straight out of hell. And it don't have to be that way. I don't believe that he was sitting down there bitter. No, I don't believe Joseph. If anybody had a right to be bitter, and I don't think anybody does, but if there was an excuse for bitterness, I think the old boy deserved to be a little bitter. But he wasn't bitter. Oh, no, he was too busy doing the work of God.
That's right.
Wasn't bitter. Man, you're talking about being done wrong with, by your family, by the people that you love the most. I'm talking about your own blood, your brothers. Man, they don't get much closer in life than me and my brothers grew up. We would kill each other. I mean, we'd beat each other up and say, go outside and kill each other. Don't tear the house up. Go, you won't kill each other. Go outside. And we had a parental right to go outside and try to kill each other. And we tried. But I tell you what, Miss Dabney, I remember some old boys, about 10 of them, come and jumped on my brother one day. And he was wrong. It was a bad dope deal, Zach. He had done an old boy wrong. And about 10 of them showed up and give it to him. That was my brother. Said, what'd you do, Pastor? I got my 12 gauge. I'm not saying I died. I wasn't saved at the time. I got my 12 gauge shotgun and called every one of them. And said, y'all want to jump on somebody? Come jump on me. And I told them where I'd be and when they could meet me. And one by one, I said, you come on over here. And I done had a shotgun and I was hiding over in a box. And I said, by God, they done jumped on my brother. I'm going to take these suckers out. You ain't messing with my brother. That's how brothers and sisters are. They'll kill each other, but they better have each other's backs. But they didn't have his back.
Right.
They despised him. That old green-eyed monster that got up in their bones. That jealousy. And they despised him and they hated him and they sold him. But you know what, Miss Denny? They should have had his back. That's blood, man. Blood is supposed to be that way. But that wasn't so in Joseph's life. But instead of getting bitter, old Joseph went on with Jesus and got better. Amen. Amen. Right. I'm telling you, God made something out of that old boy.
That's right.
God made something out of that old boy. Done wrong. I mean, really mistreated, kicked to the curb, despised and rejected. You better believe he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You better believe he was. God made something out of him.
Right.
He could have went down there to Egypt, stuck his thumb in his mouth and acted like a typical American and blamed everybody in the world for him living in poverty and being put out and it's everybody up. But no, son, he didn't harbor that kind of stuff. I tell you, he just went on with God. He turned that stuff over to the Lord and just lived for Jesus in a strange land.
Amen.
And then his brothers had to show up. And I'm talking about, son, they were starving to death. It was either him or starve to death. And son, they went to him on their knees. And they said, we pray that you'd forgive us. Ain't that a blessing? You know what Joseph did? He forgave them. He said, I'm not in the place of God. I can't judge y'all for that. And he looked at his brothers and said, y'all meant it for evil. But you don't understand. Y'all did me a favor. That's how forgiving he was. Y'all meant it for evil, but God done it for good. All y'all really done, this is how he saw it. All y'all really done, y'all wanted to destroy me. But all y'all really done was y'all accomplished the perfect will of God in my life. The perfect will of God was accomplished. And boys, instead of me judging y'all, I want to tell you, thank you, because God's way's been had in my life. That's a good way to look at things sometimes, ain't it? Ain't that a good way to look at it? Maybe God's just going to work something out. You know, we have a different mindset of how to do God's will or how to accomplish his will. We got an idea of what needs to happen. But you know what? God knows better than us. And it may be turmoil. It might be some affliction. It might be some suffering. It might be some grief for God to get us to where we need to be. It may not be our way. It may be the opposite. God's ways aren't our ways. And his ways are past finding out. I don't understand why God went this route. But God does.
Right.
He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to get you where he needs you. And I thank God for it. He was done very wrong, but he stayed right with God. Joseph was done very wrong, but he stayed right with God. I want you to notice in that story that they asked him to forgive them. They didn't ask God to forgive them. There's a principle to what I'm trying to convey today. They didn't go to God and ask for forgiveness. They asked their brother. They done God wrong when they done wrong, right? But there's no need in them trying to get it right with God until they get it right with the one that they've wronged. Because God's not going to deal with them until they go back to their brother. God's not harboring a bunch of bad feelings and all that, but God's not fooled by our little shenanigans and our little lies and all that stuff. He's not. God demanded that they go back to their brother that they'd done wrong and say, "Would you forgive us?"
That's right.
You know what God demands out of each and every one of us? The people that you done wrong, don't go to God. Go to that person you done wrong.
Right.
Go to that person you done wrong and get that junk right with them. I've made a fool out of people before in public, and if I show my hind end in public, I try to go back to that public place, and if there's 25 or 30 people present when I showed my hind end, I try to go back and get all 25 or 30 of those people to make it right. Isn't it amazing that you can come in a church like this and you can show your hind end and make a fool out of yourself and you can hurt people, and the next thing you know, you get right with God, you try to get right with God, and God shows you what you've done wrong, and then you're going to go back down there and 20 of those people or two of those people are not even there. Hey, listen, those two people are damaged now. My mentality is if you've done it 25 in front of 25 people, you need to get them 25 people back together and get it right.
Right.
The same setting that you messed up is the same setting I believe you need to get it right. Hey, that's what they did. That was the principle of what God showed us here in Joseph's life.
That's right.
We try to bypass with our pride and go straight to God with a lot of our problems when a lot of our problems ain't with God. A lot of our problems is with each other. And God's not interested in you bringing it to Him. He's interested in you going to the people that you've offended or violated or whatever.
That's right.
If you cuss me out, don't go to God and ask for forgiveness. You need to come to me and ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
I'm the one you cuss out. If I cuss you out, and God knows, come about Tuesday, I'm ready to do some cussing. Usually by Sunday evening at 2 o'clock. By the time church is out, I'm ready. Some people hear me preach and they think I cuss when I preach. So, I mean, you know, I'm like, whatever. Preacher, what do you mean? You don't wait till church is over. You do it while you're preaching. Let me say this. I believe many times when we mess up with others, we need to run. We need not to run to God for forgiveness. But we need to ask the people that we done wrong to forgive us. Husbands and wives, if you get in a fight, ain't no need going to God asking for forgiveness. Go to your spouse and ask for forgiveness.
Right.
Go to your spouse. God's not going to deal with you until you get it right with that other person, that significant other. Now, let me say your spouse. I don't like significant other because the world calls homosexuals, you know, significant other. And I don't like to deal with that.
That's right.
Oh, he's my significant other. I don't have one of them. I got a wife. I've got a wife. Amen.
Right.
Then once you get things right with each other, I believe that's when you can get things right with God. How many wounded people is running around? Listen, think about where we are today in the church. America. Old Marian Atkinson died this week. Had a heart attack in the pulpit up here preaching in Asheville, I believe, North Carolina. And had a heart attack behind the pulpit. And there's Marian Atkinson and Don Green and Sammy Allen. And I mean, just the list goes on and on in the last couple of years. That generation. You know who's left? Listen, you know who's left in that generation? Brother Herbert Williamson. Brother Donnie Harvey. Brother Travis Clayton. There ain't many left. There ain't many left. And if you think about that generation, and then you come to our generation, and that process, those guys are 70 and 80 years old, up in their 80s even. Wouldn't it be nice to die like old Brother Pat McNair? Wouldn't it be nice? He was old.
Been through all kind of surgeries, suffering. And he walked in there and looked at his wife and daughter and said, I need to talk to y'all. And they said, go ahead, Dad. He said, I'm tired. I'd like to go home. Would it be all right with y'all if I go home? Ms. Francis said, I looked at him and said, Dad, you fought a good fight. It'd be all right if you went on home.
That's right.
Brother Pat went in there and laid on. She said, Brother David, he went in there and laid on the bed. And fell asleep. She said, he never woke up. I said, boy, isn't it amazing what God will let you do when you walk with him?
That's right.
Looked at his wife and daughter and said, be all right with y'all if I just go on home. I'm tired. I'd like to go on home. He said, yeah, Dad, you fought a good fight. You've gone home. And he went there and laid down and went to his long home.
That's how God will treat you, man, when you walk with him, when you live your life for him. God will do some things for you like that.
He'll even let you know some things. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, I want to tell y'all some things that God told me last night so bad, and I just ain't at liberty. I'm telling you, I've sat over here this morning, just pondered it, and God wouldn't let me utter it. You think about the mess that the church is in today. I mean, as a whole. People are so religious and people are so self-righteous and they got so many little halos that they keep polished up. And yet they got so many issues out there, Zach, with human beings that it's pathetic.
That's right.
They've wronged so many people and they've hurt so many people. And people have been indoctrinated in wrong ways and they think, you know, just let bygones be bygones. And man, they've got some things. Listen, let me tell you something, friend. We need to get right with each other. We need to get right with each other. I don't believe in properly processing things until things is properly dealt with.
That's right.
I don't think healing can really take place in our lives, in our spirits, until things has properly been dealt with. I think we try to fix it up, but you can see what that's caused over the years. You can see the damage. We've got, it's hard. It really is hard to say I'm an independent fundamental Baptist anymore. Because the independent fundamental Baptist, and that's what we are, but they're so screwed up, it's pitiful. They're so screwed up, it's pitiful. I'm still an independent fundamental Baptist. I believe in the fundamental doctrines and stuff of that King James Bible.
That's right.
A lot of people that say they ain't are just saying they ain't because they know somebody else wants to hear them say that. But I can promise you one thing, it's nothing to be proud of. It's not a title to be very proud of today.
That's right.
It's not very prideful. Yeah, I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. Them guys used to be able to say that, and that was something to say. But I tell you, man, we've messed things up today. Things are so out of whack and messed up today inside that independent fundamental Baptist circle. It's pathetic, man. People are sitting in church with a smile on their faces, and their hearts is bleeding, Brother Zach.
That's right.
People are sitting in the house of God with fancy clothes and nice smiles and beautiful dentures and all the fixes that go along with looking religious. But on the inside, they're wounded and bleeding and suffering. Why? Because things has never been dealt with properly. But there is help. There is hope. There is healing when this thing is done right. And there's a way in that Bible, and I tell you, man, we need to face some things every once in a while. We need to face some, and we need to face some people every once in a while.
Right.
And God may not show you everything at one time, but I say this, when God does show you something, praise God for that and deal with it. I've said to myself 1,000 times, if that person right there ever does get saved, they're going to run around and make 10,000 apologies. And I've seen them get saved, and they ain't apologized to nobody. And I go, well, it's okay. Maybe God just ain't revealed it to them. Maybe God just ain't revealed just how stupid they really were. Maybe they don't see themselves like everybody else has seen them. Little by little, God begins to jerk the covers off in your life and shows you what you were and how you were.
That's right.
See, man, and who you've affected. See, the best thing in the world to do is go to them people and say, man, I was a fool. Well, I sure done wrong. I want you to know I'm sorry. I ask you, Joseph's brother, would you forgive me? Don't ask God. God ain't forgiving you until you deal. Listen to me. God is not forgiving you until you deal with some people on these things. That's plain in your King James Bible. I want to move on so we can see it. Let me say this. I don't believe the victim has a right to sit and wait for an apology always. Joseph didn't.
Right.
Jesus didn't. Joseph is a tremendous type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we was to pattern some of our life after the way Joseph did it, I mean, Jesus is our great example. But he gave us these other things as an example and an ensample and a testimony and all that good stuff. It wouldn't hurt us to pattern our forgiveness and our attitudes and our life after somebody like Joseph. If somebody does you wrong, you shouldn't sit around and just go, mm-mm, I ain't doing nothing till they apologize. You don't have a right to ask for that. Joseph didn't sit around and wait for his brethren to come and apologize. Joseph got busy for God. He put that stuff behind him. He let it go, man. I tell you, he turned it over to God. He didn't let it go. He turned it over to God. That's what he done. He believed God. Do you believe God?
Right.
Do you really believe that there's a God in heaven that said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay? Do you believe that he will? Do you believe that he will take care of your problems?
Right.
Because if you believe that, I promise you one thing, he will, you'll see.
Amen.
God will. Vengeance is his. He will repay. God will take care of it if you believe him for it. Abraham believed him. Look what it done for Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Here's this old man. God said, you're going to have a kid. I'm going to bless your seed. Your seed's going to be as the sand of the seas. Man, I tell you, it's going to be like this. And he believed God. Lord, I'm too old. Nope, he believed God.
Amen.
He believed God for it. I don't believe the victim has a right to sit and wait for an apology, but rather go on for Jesus and let Jesus deal with the wrong. Let Jesus deal with it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways. Listen to each and every word. In all thy ways.
That's right.
Man, give it to God. Give it to God and walk with him. You can walk with God in the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. God will walk with you. Know this. Your perpetrator will, listen to me, trying to help with this stuff on forgiveness and bitterness and all that stuff. That person that perpetrated or violated you, that person that done you wrong, you understand this, they will never, never, never be all that they can be until they get it right. You can look at them, they can be leading to singing. But I'll tell you one thing, something's missing. They can be in a pulpit preaching, but I can promise you one thing, something is missing.
Right.
I don't care what, they can be pastoring the largest church in the state, but if they have wronged people and never made it right, listen to me, something is missing because God will never release them until they get it right. Vengeance is his. Man, I've heard him preach, preacher. He's got power. No, the power's in that book. That jack leg might be as so crooked they have to screw him in the ground when they bury him, but there's power in that book.
Right.
I've seen singers that wasn't worth spitting on if they were on fire, but I've seen God bless the singing anyhow because it was scripturally true. It was doctrinally sound.
Right.
And the singers, I wouldn't, I'm telling you, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for some of them. But the words of them songs was true, and God blessed it. Most of the singers out there today, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for anyhow. I really wouldn't. Wouldn't know God from a jackass.
Right.
I mean, if the jackass come down the aisle hee-hawing, they wouldn't know it wasn't God or was God. They wouldn't know.
Right.
And God come down the aisle glowing. They couldn't tell one from the other. Preacher, that's pretty extreme. I'm pretty an extreme person. I mean, I'm pretty extreme. See, when I lived like hell, I was extreme living like hell. Amen. When I was in them bars, so I was all the way in them bars. They wasn't enough tables to dance on. They wasn't enough flesh to fight. I'm telling you, Miss Stephanie, the world wasn't nasty enough. It wasn't filthy enough. And I said, Lord, I just want to live for you half as well as I live for hell. Yeah.
Right.
Just want to live for Jesus as good as I live for the devil. I want to live for Jesus as good as I live for my flesh.
That's right.
Man, that's right, Miss Stephanie. I remember them honky-tonks. Amen. I remember them nights out on the town side. I remember this flesh going up to town looking for a good fight, Brother Zach. Man, let's see who we can fight tonight. I tell you, man, go out there and you're just so bored out of your mind. It's a dumb. You go looking for a fight. Are you kidding me? But that was before people pulled out guns and knives and sticks, and you could just go throw some knuckles, man, and let the best man win. And when it was over. I tell you, pretty bored to go let somebody hit you in the jaw. I tell you what I want to do. I want to live for Jesus just as hard as I sure do. I want to live for Jesus just as hard.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. I remember some of the incidents in my lost life. And boy, I just think, my God, man, I was sold out lock, stock, and barrel to that sin. Boy, I want to sell out lock, stock, and barrel to Jesus. You hear me?
Right.
I was an extreme sinner, friend. I was an extreme sinner. I'm telling you, it couldn't be enough. Listen, when I smoked a cigarette, I mean just as simple as smoking a cigarette. I didn't want to smoke a cigarette. I'd break the filter off and smoke a cigarette. You say, what? I was just an extreme sinner. If I was going to smoke and feel that thing kick me in the throat, I want to feel it kick the deepest part of my throat. Amen. Break the filter off and smoke it without a filter.
Right.
That's how we did things, son. Just an extremist.
Right.
You couldn't get enough proof. You couldn't get enough proof in a liquor bottle for us. 180 proof, Everclear. Are you kidding me? That wasn't enough. We drunk all the week. Man, I'm telling you, 180 proof. That's what we want. We want the Everclear. We want the 180 proof. You say, what are you talking about? I've been an extreme sinner. I went as far as I could go. I want to just go as far as I can go for Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Tell you something, you can do people wrong, and it doesn't matter what you want. You're not going to be all you can be for God when you don't get things right with other people. And I don't want to have things in my heart, my life against other people. I don't want to harbor unforgiveness in my life towards people. I don't want to do other people wrong. I talk a lot of crazy junk, but I tell you, deep down inside that new man that God put inside of me, I tell you, thank God, I don't want to do people wrong, Brother Zach. I want to live holy. I want to live separated unto God. I want to live a dedicated life. I want to be faithful. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to let my light, you say, preach what? That's that new man that God put in. And I want that light to shine as bright as it can. I just want everybody in the world to be able to see what the Lord's done for me. I want to let it shine. Oh, I just want to let it shine. Praise God, just let it shine and let them see God in me.
That's right.
So preacher, what is it? Listen, doesn't matter if that's what I want. If I've done you wrong and I'm not willing to get it right with you, I'll never shine as bright as I can shine until I do. There's people sitting in churches all over this country that's been done wrong. And a lot of them's been done wrong by the leaders of that church. And they're sitting there trying to act like a Christian and trying to act like they're obedient because they've been indoctrinated in a wrong way. And they're trying to just cover it all up and put on masks and wear band-aids. And I tell you, underneath every bit of that stuff, there's a festering, there's an infection. And I tell you, man, them churches are growing and all they're doing is swelling and stinking like a dead coon on the side of the road.
Right.
Because what's on the inside is rottenness. I tell you, if they ain't but two or three of us in here, if we come in here in love, If two or three people are gathered together in His name, God will be in the midst. And if even two or three of them shows up, man, as long as we're in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ, son, that's all that matters. I'm telling you, friend, we can go on for the glory of God. We can walk with God. God can walk with us. We can fellowship with Him. And God will talk. God talked to me last night again, Brother Zach. Amen, son. I'm telling you, God prophesied to me last night, Miss Holly. God prophesied to me last night. God told me something was going to happen. Can I promise you, it happened. Just exactly like God told. I had no idea. Just sitting in there in my little old house and nothing special. I mean, the news ain't coming by and the rich and famous crowd ain't coming by and the Cribs crowd from MTV ain't coming by to do. But God came by. God came by over last night and God spoke a prophecy, Brother Zach. And I know that sounds Pentecostal, but God told me of something that was going to happen. God told me something that was going to happen. And I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't praying for it. God just showed up and told me something that was going to happen. Would you believe it's happened? Just exactly like He said it was going. You say, what are you talking about? God will tell you some things. God will tell you some. He'll talk to you, ladies. God will talk to you. I didn't understand what He was trying to tell me. I didn't. Man, I'm telling you, it was just sort of out of nowhere. And God was just telling me some things that was going to happen. You know, Mr. Evie, it's happened just exactly like He said. Now, what I ought to do is run through that block wall and just take off and rejoice about three laps around Knoxville. Yes. It wasn't George Clooney. It wasn't Jennifer Aniston. It wasn't Angelina Jolie. It was God. Amen. It was God. Well, wouldn't it be something if some of these celebrities and some of these so-called stars were to come to our house and visit with us and tell us some insights? Wouldn't that be something? We'd want everybody to know. I'm going to tell you something. God showed up at the house last night.
Amen. That's right.
If Angelina Jolie was to come to my house or whoever. If what's the great quarter? Tom Brady. If Tom Brady was to come to my house, you couldn't have. They ain't enough room around my house to park all the news vans and stuff. If they caught wind that Tom Brady was coming to my house, but I tell you one thing, God come to the house last night and there wasn't nobody out there with a camera.
Right.
It's all right. I don't need no cameras. I don't need no attention, son. As long as God speaks to me and walks me. Yeah, hey, look, I ain't nothing special. I didn't bring a halo with me this morning. But I tell you what, I'm just a child of God, Brother Zach. And what God does for me, He'll do for any child He is. I got to hurry.
Amen.
That little old boy sitting right back there. Wave at Bonehead. Let you know who a bonehead is. God walk with that little boy. Nathan, Benji, Naomi, Jonathan, Jesse, Abigail. Pray for them youngins every night, every day of my life. God will walk with them little kids.
That's right.
Just like He did D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon and John Asquith and David Vernon. God will walk with them little children. Isn't that wonderful?
That's right.
Look at Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to hurry. Matthew 6, verse 9 through 15 says, after this manner, this is Jesus talking. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If you don't forgive your debtors, God's not going to forgive you.
That's right.
If you don't forgive them, God's not forgiving you.
That's right.
That's why I say you got to get this junk right with human beings first.
That's right.
That ain't all. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if ye, Jesus said, forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses.
Right.
You know what you're going to have to do first of all? You're going to have to go get it right with some people. Amen. You can ask God till you turn blue in the face, but until you get that thing right with each other, God's out of it. Leave me out of it, God said. Leave me out of it. I'm not involved. My hand is not going to be on this. But when you go and get that junk right with somebody else, whoever it may be, then after that's handled, hey, I didn't say they had to accept. They don't have to accept. But I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to heap the judgment of God on their life by not accepting. B.B. Caldwell said he's known people that, he said he went and knocked on a man's door to make an apology. He said he apologized to that man. That man cast it back into his teeth. He said, that man dropped dead. You said, what was that? Just the judgment of God on that man.
Right.
The best thing to do is accept somebody's apology.
Right.
You don't have to. Hey, listen. If you've apologized to somebody, let's use the word repent. You've repented. And you're truly sorry. And you approach that person. Hey, listen, whether they accept it or not, you're clear with God. You're clear with God now. Because you did your part. Brother Church sits here in service many times. And boy, I miss everybody that's not here today. But Brother Church has sat here. Brother Church wanted to come to church here when he left Sunlight Baptist Church. As soon as he left Sunlight Baptist Church, and he told him one Sunday, I won't be back. And so he approached me and said, I want to be able to come. And I told him, no, you can't come. Ain't that a way to build a congregation? Ain't that a way to add to your numbers? I told Brother Church, I said, no, you're not welcome to come. I said, when you get this thing right with your old pastor, you can come. But you're not coming with this problem. You're not welcome.
Right.
That ain't how Baptist preachers build congregations today. Man, they'll take everybody in. I mean, you can hate your pastor, you can hate your wife, you can hate your husband, and if you want to come join the church and bring your money, I got, they'll just bring you on in. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. I believe in getting things right where you left. You say, why would you say that? Because I got things right where I left.
Amen.
I've had places that I've had to leave and I had to get things right before I left. So I told Brother Church, I said, you make amends with your pastor. You get that thing right spiritually with your pastor. I said, Brother Church, I love you. I want you around. Man, I hope you come. You're a tremendous help and a blessing. You come. But after you get this thing right with your pastor. But don't bring that problem to our congregation. Do not bring your problems to our congregation.
That's right.
I don't believe in church hopping.
That's right.
Most of the time, if somebody wants to come to church, in most cases, I look into the background. Because if they're leaving a church with a problem, I don't want them here. Now, don't misunderstand that. I want them to be right. I'm not doing it to hurt them. I'm trying to do it to help them. Because I know they can come here and they will never flourish for God until they get that right.
That's right.
Something to be missing.
Yeah.
Do you know I had to drive all the way down to Resaca, Georgia to lay my hands on that pulpit, that communion table down there at Brother Sammy Allen's? Do you know I had to drive all the way down there just to lay my hands on it and pray and ask God to release it? The curse. You say, preacher, you talk crazy. Hey, listen, that thing was stolen from me. That's an $18,000 pulpit and communion table that was stolen from me. Stolen from me. And then they turned and gave it away to one of my heroes, one of the greatest preachers that's ever walked in this country, Brother Zach. But yet that pulpit sitting down there in his church without him even having any clue how that pulpit got to his church. That pulpit had a curse on it. I drove all the way to Georgia just to lay my hands on that pulpit and communion table and ask God to release that curse. Lord, I have nothing in my heart. I'm glad this thing is here. Would you bless it? Let it be a blessing to that man of God. Don't let that man of God stand behind this pulpit with his curse on it. And he'll not know what's going on. He'll not understand, man, something ain't right. Something ain't right. The Spirit of God ain't just jee-hawing on something. Something ain't right. So what did you do, Pastor? I went down there and asked God because it was stolen from me. He didn't have a clue. I didn't want him to stand behind a stolen pulpit.
That's right.
So I went and asked God to just release that curse and let that man of God stand there and it be rightly his. Lord, I'd rather it be right here than anywhere I can think of. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. Got down there about 2 o'clock in the morning. Am I lying about it, honey? Got down there about 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, Brother Sammy ain't never locked the church door. I said, take me, we're going straight to the church. He ain't never locked the door, has he, Mama? I said, we're going straight to the church. That's what I come down here for on Saturday night. We drove right on up in there. Man got in there and I prayed for that stuff come out and there was the police waiting on me. What are you doing? I said, man, I come in here to pray. Well, how'd you know the church was? I said, I've known Brother Sammy for over 30 years. He ain't never locked the church door.
Yeah.
He said, what's your name? I gave him my name. He went on, left me alone. Lazy, stinking cop. You should have got out of the car and looked in to see if I went in there and spray painted anything. At least put some graffiti on the walls. Too lazy. Bless God. I guess he had to hurry up and get back to the Krispy Kreme. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Matthew 18, 21 and 22 says this. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times. That's pretty good. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Here's what Jesus is telling him. It's never right to hold back forgiveness from a person that repents.
Right.
It's never right. If that person truly repents and that sincere apology comes, it is never right to not forgive that person.
Right.
Never. It's a God-given obligation to forgive them. I've known people that have been molested. And there was no repentance and no forgiveness. You know what that resulted in? No healing.
That's right.
No moving on. No getting over it. And I don't know if you'll ever get over it, but there's a healing process. But I tell you where it starts, Miss Holly. It starts with true repentance. How many molesters have you ever seen truly repent of? How many molesters have you ever really seen repent? I'm not saying they can't. I just don't know too many of them. Thank God we got one. We got one. We got one that allowed God to work a miracle in his heart and life.
Right.
And that cycle, man, somebody doing something to you and you in return, that's how you say, man, there's no healing there. Because you turn around and you do that same thing or something else to somebody else. Just start that process, that cycle. That cycle. And Miss Debbie, that stuff breaks my heart and makes me mad and tears me all to pieces all at the same time, Brother Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at one man that hates perverts. I shouldn't say that. I despise perverts. Mm-hmm. I despise them. But at the same time, Miss Holly, I look into their life and go, who violated them? When did that cycle start? Did somebody do that to them? And somewhere in my heart, Miss Debbie, I can find compassion on even a molester because somewhere down the line, he was probably molesting. I've been around dope all my life. My mama can tell you more about dope than most people on the streets. So you know where a lot of that stuff comes from. Somebody messed them up when they was a kid. And never was dealt with.
That's right.
And never was dealt with properly. I hear people tell their stories, and I grew up in this stuff, buddy. I've been around heroin addicts for years and years and years, Miss Steady, and I grew up around this stuff. I know about it. And there's things today, Brother Zach, that I don't know. It's stuff I hear today still blowing my mind. Because sin don't stop.
That's right.
It just keeps increasing, increasing. About everything I know is from the days gone by. It's old stuff. My knowledge is almost of the dinosaur age in this thing. But here's what I do understand. I listen to the stories and I go, I wonder who violated them.
That's right.
I wonder who violated them. You say, Miss Debbie, why is a lot of us doing, why is a lot of us humans doing what we're doing? Because that healing never took place.
That's right.
People can say whatever they want to, buddy. But when that thing gets damaged, it gets damaged.
There's things that happens in our life, ladies and gentlemen, God never intended to happen.
There's things that happen in your mind and those chemicals in your brain. Those chemicals are real.
Those dopamines and tonins and all that stuff is so very real. It's pathetic.
And some of that stuff, Brother Zach, would never be intended to release when it was released. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But because it was, Miss Stephanie, it's caused damage in people's lives. And without real forgiveness and repentance, that healing never does really take place.
Right.
And people live the rest of their life in chaos and turmoil and fights, just fighting, fighting this, fighting that, fighting just always something. And the devil has got his flipping hooks sunk so deep into their flesh.
What's the answer, preacher? Jesus.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus.
Amen.
I'd like to have Dale Morey right here and just slap him and make him testify.
Tell us about it, preacher man. Tell me about what God brought you out of. I don't know a whole lot of people with a testimony like that.
Right. Amen.
That comes from all kinds of abuse. It comes from mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse. It comes from all kinds. Man, people deal with that, and until that stuff is handled properly, people would deal with that till they die.
Let me illustrate true repentance and false repentance. Come here, Gracie. Come on. Bring your little nasty self on up here. I tell you, instead of taking a shower, you just put on some perfume and... Will you be my girlfriend? Okay. What would I get you up here for? Say I've done you wrong. Whatever. Now here you are, broken and scarred and hurt. And I come to you. And I go, Gracie, I want you to know that I'm sorry for whatever you think I've done to you. I'm sorry. Go back and sit down. Girlfriend, sugar pie, babe. I can't illustrate it. Elvis Presley. I'm sorry I had to bring a name up like that in church. But if you watch like Jailhouse Rock, Elvis back in the day when he was in his 20s and 30s and he was fighting in them, you know, army shows and stuff like that, I want you to visualize Elvis Presley. I watched him fight in one of them shows one time. And he went to hit a dude, and it looked like he reached off, and he was way over in Korea, but it looked like he reached all the way back over into Memphis, Tennessee, and grabbed him a whole handful of knuckles and reared back and hit that dude. And I went, praise God, that's how you hit a man. I mean, son, he reached way down there. He got as far south as he could, son. He come back and hit, and I went, that's how you hit a flipping man. I mean, you give him everything you got. You said, but what are you talking about? When somebody makes an apology like I just did to Gracie, I give Gracie the approval. It ain't God. It ain't right. It ain't scriptural. But it is burnology. I give her the God-given right to reach down to Memphis, Tennessee, and get her a handful of knuckles and knock that sucker's teeth slam out because he didn't no more mean that.
That's right.
That ain't no more repentance. That ain't no more godly sorrow. That's no more. Look at me and my God-given amount. You don't owe him any forgiveness. You don't owe that man any forgiveness. You don't have to forgive. That's not real. That's not true. Hey, listen. If that man's not genuine in wanting forgiveness, you don't have to be genuine in giving repentance or forgiveness. You don't have to give him none. I'm not saying you need to harbor hate and unforgiveness and bitterness. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll do yourself more harm pretending that you forgive him over some little old silly apology like that than you would if you just looked at him and went, that's not an apology.
That's right.
I'm sorry for what you think I did to you. That makes me madder than three hells. I can't stand that little silly kind of stuff like that. Makes me want to spit on something. I'm sorry for what you think I've done. You sorry sucker, you. I don't believe that we ought to go around hitting people, but if somebody knocked your flipping teeth out, I'd smile a little bit. I'd sleep better tonight. I'm talking about people doing people wrong, friend.
That's right.
I ain't advocating violence and all that kind of stuff, but I can promise you one thing. I'm not going to be grieved over it. I'm sorry for what you think I've done to you. Really? You've never dealt with this properly.
That's right.
If that's your responsibility, you've not dealt with, you're not man enough or woman enough to own up and see, hey, if we confess our sin, you've never seen what you've done like God's seen what you've done.
That's right.
You've never seen it like God sees, or you wouldn't say it like that. When you see it like God does, and you're looking over there on the cross, and you've got to turn your back on your only begotten Son, God sees it a whole different way than what me and you do. Jesus Christ being made sin for us, God the Father couldn't even look on His own Son. Had to turn. I tell you, it looks pretty bad. God sees it pretty bad, friend. It ain't going to be cute, and it's not going to be easy, and it's not going to be smooth, and it's not going to be pleasing. It's not going to be, I'm sorry for what you think I've done to you. No, what I've done to you was wicked, foul, evil against God, and I'm sorry.
Right.
Hung Jesus Christ on the cross. What I've done to you is why Jesus hung on the cross. What I've done to you is why He had to shed His blood. And I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? God, help us. You know what happens, and I'll try to hurry. You know what happens when people don't handle hurt correctly? It's not deep. They get hard. Now, we got some pretty hard cases in this congregation. And isn't it amazing God's turned this little congregation into a church?
That's right.
Amen. That'd be a good time for you to jump up and go hug one of them. I sit down in the house and I just rejoice God's just taking this little congregation and He's turning it into a church little by little by little. And I rejoice in that little Zach.
Amen.
Amen. But people get hard. And we're dealing with a hard generation today. And it's because they've never dealt properly with the hurt that's in their life.
Right.
Never dealt properly with it. How did Joseph deal with it? He gave it to God. I mean, truly, genuinely, believe God.
That's right.
That God was going to take care of it. They meant it for evil, God did it for good. That was it with him. Pretty simple. But he believed that.
That's right.
The problem is believing that. You're not obligated to forgive everybody. I ain't talking about harboring unforgiveness. These just some people don't want forgiveness.
Right.
You don't have to sit around and beat yourself up for not forgiving them. They don't want forgiveness. They've not come clean with what they've done. They've not even asked for it.
Right.
Don't sit around and beat yourself up because, you know, you ain't forgave them. Hey, look, they don't want forgiveness.
You don't just have to jump up out of your seat and go, hey, you may not want it. You may not be repented. You may not be sorry, but I forgive you. Don't be super spiritual.
Try.
Isaiah chapter 2 verse 5 says, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they replenish from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines. They're wicked, they're vile, they're wretched, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. They don't even, well, let's go on. Their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made, and mean men boweth down, and great men humbleth themselves. Therefore forgive them not. God, they've got idols over here. The mean men are bowing down to them. They've worked this stuff with their own hands, and they bow down to this stuff. Don't forgive them, God. That's what the prophet prayed.
Don't forgive them. They're wicked. They're vile. They've gone after strangers. Don't forgive them. That's the prophet of God.
Let me give you more. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18 says, then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. He says something. They're going to come against the man of God. I'm going to move on down. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death. Let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them, for they had digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. Yet, Lord, thou knowest all their counsel against me to slay me. Forgive not their iniquity, neither blot out their sin from thy sight, but let them be overthrown before thee. Deal thus with them in the time of thine anger.
He said, God, when you get good and angry, deal with them. Don't wait till you're good and come. God, let your anger rise. And when you get good and mad, deal with this wicked bunch. Don't forgive them. They hate you. They hate me. They hate your word. They hate the people of God. They worship idols. I'm telling you, they're women. They deserve to be childless. They deserve to lose their husbands. God, would you not forgive them, but deal with them when you get good and mad? That's the prophet.
That's right.
You know why he was able to pray that? They didn't want God to forgive them. They weren't repentant people. They weren't sorry for what they done. He did not owe them any forgiveness.
Right.
That don't mean that you need to walk around with a chip on your shoulder. That means you just got to give that thing to God and say, vengeance is the Lord's. He will repay.
Right.
And God, in this situation,
I told somebody the other day, I said, I wish that sucker would die. I wish that sucker would die. Man, you shouldn't say stuff like that. Jeremiah did. Jeremiah did. Isaiah did. They were the prophets of God. Some of these wicked suckers, I just wish they'd go on and die. They ain't going to repent. They ain't sorry. They hate God. Go on ahead, God, and deal with them with your anger. Amen. Go ahead, just take them out. Don't bother me none.
These people ain't asking for forgiveness. When Jesus was on the cross, and I'm going to quit. When Jesus was on the cross, this is what he prayed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Do you remember when that woman, that Gentile woman, came to Jesus and her daughter was needing the Lord, and Jesus said, this ain't for you bunch of dogs. Your time ain't come.
And she said, yeah, but the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And he looked at her and said, oh, you've got great faith. I'm paraphrasing.
Because of your faith, your daughter's going to be okay today. And he gave her what she wanted, Gentile.
He told her time wasn't come. I'm here to minister to these Jews. And the Gentiles' time hadn't come yet.
Jesus is over there on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. Who is them? He specified one person from another. Forgive them, one group from another, for they know not what they do. Who are they? I believe that's them Roman soldiers, Brother Zach, and Gentiles that hadn't been preached to.
Right.
But that angry mob of Jews that was sitting out there saying, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, yeah. They were witnessed to. They were preached to. Listen, they had miracles performed in front of them. They seen water turned into wine. They seen the dead raised. They seen the blind given back their sight. They seen the deaf and dumb speak and hear. They seen all those miracles. I'm telling you, friend, he said, forgive them, for they know not. He wasn't talking about them Jews. They said, let his blood be upon us and our children. He was talking about the Gentile. You know what Jesus did do? He didn't forgive everybody on that cross.
That's right.
He didn't forgive those that were enlightened.
That's right.
He forgave those that were ignorant and unlearned.
That's right.
He asked for forgiveness for those that didn't know no better. Them Jews, they know exactly what they're doing. We've witnessed to them. We've preached to them. That's why I came into my own, and they received me not. But I tell you, man, there was miracles performed in front of them. I've done everything in my power. They know exactly what they're doing. I told them this was going to happen. I told them about this crucifixion. I told them about the death, burial, and resurrection. And they still holler and crucify him. Lord, I'm not asking forgiveness for that bunch. But that Roman soldier that's about to stick that spear into my side, the one that drove them spikes into my hands and my feet, that put that crown of thorns on my head, Lord, I pray that you forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant. Oh, but thank God their time come, Brother Zach.
Right. Not everybody's looking for it.
You can mark this down. There's been Jews saved since Calvary. How did they get saved? Repentance and faith. They repented toward God and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And then Jews has got born again.
But there's been a bunch.
Hey, look at me. I'm going to say something that's really weird. God raised up Adolf Hitler. Are you a... Hey, listen, friend. I just soon shoot Hitler as I had look at him. I got no use for Adolf Hitler. Let me tell you something. God raised him up. When they said, let his blood be upon us and our children, God said, I'll raise people up from generation to generation to take care of your children.
Right.
And he let Adolf Hitler come in power. They didn't take God by surprise. God knew exactly what was going to happen before Adolf Hitler's mom and daddy was ever born.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And he let him take all them Jews over there and kill them. You know what? You know what I think about Miss Holly? That was awful. I mean, I'm a friend of a Jew. But I think of what they said at Calvary, let his blood be upon us and our children. And the blood of Jesus Christ has been on them Jews ever since Calvary.
God has held them responsible.
Hey, let me say, forgive them, for they know not what. Them Jews knew exactly what they were doing.
That's right.
That Jesus was preached by Moses and the prophets all through that Old Testament. Them people knew that Old Testament. And son, here he is, John, standing there on the riverbank, said, behold, the Lamb of God. He wasn't preaching. He was preaching that to that bunch of Jews over there. Behold, that's him. That's him. That's him. That's who all the prophets was talking about. That's Jesus, the Son of God. They said, let's kill him. Jesus didn't ask for forgiveness for them.
Right.
He just turned it over to God.
God, you do what you want.
If they repent, God will save them. If somebody repents towards you, you're to forgive them.
Right.
And don't sit around and feel bad if they've not repented and asking for forgiveness. That's not your obligation for them to ask. You just go on with Jesus and turn it over to God and say, God, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Father, thank you for this day. Pray God.